You're listening to Finding Direction, where we help people who feel lost find direction in their life. We interview the most passionate and fulfilled people and reverse engineer their life to uncover how they found direction. In doing so, we uncover strategies, tactics, and actionable steps you can apply to live a life of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. I'm your host, Stu Massengill, and thanks for listening in. What's up, everybody? This week's episode is brought to you by Audible. And if you have not heard of Audible yet, this is an absolute must-have, an absolute must-add to your tool belt and to your daily life. Now, a little bit about Audible. They are a leading provider of spoken word audiobooks. Basically, you can find any book you would ever imagine in audiobook format on Audible. And a couple books that I personally have listened to on Audible and honestly that have been the most impactful books in my life are two that I'll recommend for you that you can basically dive right into. The first book is called The Defining Decade. And I know on this show we talk a lot about figuring out your life, your purpose, and what you want to do with your life. And this book basically, Dr. Meg Jay, she really dives into a little bit more of the science behind how to figure out what you want to do with your life. She was a counselor at a college, and basically through seeing so many people go through this question of what do I want to do with my life, she really went into this pretty big study around it. So that's a phenomenal book. Absolutely, absolutely recommend that if you're wanting to figure out what you're doing with your life. And the second book, which this is hands down absolutely the most profound book I've ever read in my life, the biggest book that changed my life, and it's called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. And don't get sidetracked by the title. It's not a negative connotation of influencing people. It's how can you go out there and be better at communicating, right? Because if we are not good with humans, we're not going to enjoy life as much. They are everywhere. I grew up as a shy kid and didn't really feel like I had communication skills. And when I got my hands on this book, I can tell you it changed everything for me in my life, not just to be happier around people, but just be more fulfilled and more excited and find more joy in life. So those are two books that I absolutely, absolutely hands down recommend. And a couple other cool things about Audible is, as we mentioned, there's thousands of titles you can choose from there. And the cool part is you get to listen wherever you want. You can actually download the audiobook to your phone and you can listen to it while you're on a plane. You can pause it. You can come back to it on another device and resume right where you left off. And it's all done from an app from your phone. So they make it really simple. You listen to it anytime you want. I often will listen to it while I'm cooking food or going on a walk or if I'm working out. It's just an easy way to really learn more while doing a bunch of other random things that I do in my daily life. So absolutely recommend checking them out. And for all of you that have not checked out Audible yet, what we're going to be doing today on the episode, which is really cool, is we're going to get you a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership of Audible. All you need to do is just go to audibletrial.com/findingdirection and you're going to get one free audiobook. So, you know, again, I would check out The Defining Decade. It's a big book helping you figure out what you want to do with your life. And also another incredible one, a must check out, is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. Again, just go to audibletrial.com/findingdirection. What's up, my friends? Welcome back to another week here on Finding Direction. And this week, I'm excited to bring you our guest. I'm sitting down with one of my good buddies. His name is DJ Rancan, and he is most formally known as the world's corporate DJ. He is literally traveling all over the entire world, DJing at some of the largest corporate events in the world, emceeing some of them, doing some virtually, and truly bringing in energy that if you were in the building when he is orchestrating these events, you would be absolutely blown away by what he does in a room with his music, his energy, his words. It is truly, truly, truly incredible. And on this week's episode, what we talk about with DJ Rancan and I is how, first and foremost, how we got started in DJing, right? Now he's the world's corporate DJ, but how did he actually get started in it? We also talk about how blindly saying yes to an opportunity changed literally his entire life, his entire career. And we also talk about one of the biggest takeaways that he's
God that he's received from listening, because he goes to these corporate events where they bring in some of the top thought leaders in the world, and he shares with us what one of his biggest takeaways was from some of the top thought leaders in the world. All right, so there's a lot of juice in this one. DJ Rankin is just an extraordinary human being. So if you have not yet, as always, I'm going to ask, please subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a review if you can, so that we can make sure we're bringing you content every single week, two times a week. And if you have a friend that maybe knows DJ Rankin, if you have a friend that's in the DJ space, or if you have a friend that's just trying to figure out what they want to do with their life, send them this episode. And I promise you, they're going to be stoked that you sent over the episode. All right, without that, we are going to dive right into this week's episode. And here we go, my friends. DJ Rankin, my man Ryan. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, Stu. Thanks for having me, man. I'm so excited to be on the show.
Absolutely. I'm freaking pumped to have you here, man. It was fun even before we started recording, just reminiscing that it's been crazily almost a decade that we originally connected ago.
Yeah, I know. We were chopping it up, man. I mean, I'm excited. It's been like 10 years in the making almost of this friendship growing. And yeah. I feel like now is like the perfect time to, you know, come on and talk it out, because we've both been through so much. And I don't know. I just feel like, you know, crazy things going on right now. And I feel like there's some value there. So
100%, man. Yeah, there's going to be some sparks flying on this conversation. So you already know what I'm going to ask. We talked about it earlier. Tell us, what was life like for little baby Rankin growing up?
Well, little baby Rankin wasn't a Rankin at the time. First and foremost, I was born an only child. I came from a, you know, lower middle class. I mean, my mom almost couldn't afford diapers for me when I was first born. And my dad owned a very small at-home business. He fixed boat propellers, which is why my passion for boating is such a thing now. I mean, epic, right? And my mom, you know, she did the corporate thing, and she went to school and got an amazing job, which we ended up moving out into the suburbs, out of the city. And she is just a saint. I remember, you know, raising me, she worked a full-time job. She was going to school full time for her master's degree while my dad was still running his small business. And she's just a hero, man. I mean, my parents are my everything, you know. They're my idols and my heroes. And you know, I went to a little small school out in the suburbs, and I really didn't have like a clique of friends. I wasn't a popular kid. I got bullied tremendously on the school bus, believe it or not. People called me Molly. Huh. I got stapled on the school bus. I remember one time, like with a stapler gun.
People, what?
Yeah, dude, it was nuts. And I mean, people were cool. Kids, I had long hair, right? So like, I have all this hair that's up here. I still have long hair.
Oh, you've always had long hair since you were forever.
Yeah. And like, you know, what's funny too, is the reason why I feel like I was able, not able, but the reason I had long hair, my dad's a biker. So like he had long hair growing up.
Flowing in the bike.
Yeah, dude, they just let me do what I wanted to do, which I commend them because they let me be me, you know?
And, shout out to the parents.
Yeah, dude, major plug for, you know, Mama and Papa Rankin. They're just the goats. So
yeah,
man. And I, you know, did the school thing, wasn't athletic. I did drama club, had no friend group. I was a floater in lunch. Sometimes I didn't know where I was going to sit. And from there, I got shit grades. It was crazy, man. I just didn't know what I wanted to do, and I wasn't good in school. I couldn't test well, and I ended up, you know, applying to college because my parents wanted me to do that, and I couldn't get into any like SUNY schools, like any good colleges. I ended up going to a community college, and I didn't know what I wanted to go for. I'm sure there's so many people that are in that boat that just don't know what the hell they want to do. So I went to school for
doing
business.
It because you're supposed to do it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've been told to just go to school and get good grades and get a job, you know? So that's what I was doing. At least I was trying to, but I was struggling. I had no purpose or direction in my life of what I wanted to do until I found a passion. And from there, I kind of grabbed hold of it. So, but I went, long story short, I went to school for business, and my business teacher, one day I asked him, I was like, I asked my business teacher, I was like, what businesses did you own? And he's never owned a business. And My dad had his small business. So I was kind of, you know, watching a small business owner struggle and learn and go through, you know, the trials and tribulations of what it's like to own a business. And I just didn't understand how I could be successful learning from somebody that didn't have the end result of what I wanted. You know, it just didn't make any sense. Yeah. So I ended up quitting college and just all hell broke loose in my household, man. My parents were pissed.
Really?
Yeah. So I just, I ended up, you know, settling with my parents to go to a trade school. And I love music. I mean, that's always been my thing. You know, I mean, how many people love music? It's the universal language, right?
Yeah.
It just like speaks to you on so many different levels. Any emotion you're feeling throughout the day, you can pair that emotion with a song. And straight it can up. Amplify your emotion almost. It can bring you tears. It can bring you laughter and happy and joy and brings this power out within you. So I just always harnessed that. But
when you left school, was that, were you introduced to Vima in those days? Was that like in that era?
So you know what? It wasn't in that era yet. This is all prior to being introduced to Vima.
You dropped out. You were just like, this business doesn't make sense. He hasn't done a business.
Yeah.
He's teaching me how to have a business. I'm out.
I was like, how can I learn how to be, you know, in business from someone who never had a business?
Doesn't make any sense.
Knows business. Yeah. I don't want to learn things textbook that everyone's going to do the same thing and get the same results. You know, it's just, it didn't make any sense to me. I literally left college. I got up and walked out after he answered my question. I was like, I can't be here. I didn't feel good about it, dude. And like, that's one thing that I do now in my life is like, I don't do things I don't feel good about doing, you know? So, and that's something I've learned throughout the course of the years, but just backing up a little bit in high school, you know, like the baby Ramkin era, like I started playing music with this guy named Jeff Toy, who was my business professor in high school. And I never took his class, but I was in his study hall class. Huh. So I never like signed up for those credits in high school with him, but we became really, really good friends. And he started a mobile entertainment DJ company. And he started this extracurricular high school club called Radio Club. And we started a radio club called Wild Radio in high school. So I started DJing.
Really?
I wouldn't even call it DJing, bro. I was like playing music off of a dusty 2002 Windows 95 computer with like the first version of iTunes ever, like in school cafeteria off of these crusty speakers that we had. Like, and that was DJing in my life. You know, I played music my sophomore and, you know, senior year and in high school. And then we ended up DJing like the homecoming and prom, which was great.
Yeah.
We started this little DJ club and I give this dude so many props because he was a, you know, business teacher, but he ended up leaving teaching because he wanted to go and run his own businesses. So this is kind of where I crafted this idea from when I went into college, right? And he opened up like a mobile entertainment DJ business. I was the first DJ he ever hired. My first gig, I DJed the other school down the road's homecoming. I was 17. My mom had to drive me there with my trusty, dusty computer. Like, it was like a thing, right? And I played a homecoming dance. And like, that was me like being a DJ. And, you know, it was just like, it was a great time. Like, I got to connect to music. And
do you remember the first time that you were like, holy crap, music has this ridiculous power to like connect people? And it was like,
dude,
light bulb, this is my thing.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy is like 300 people in a gymnasium in high school, right? The fact that music can control every single person in the room is so powerful in a sense, because and once you are able to do that, you really understand the power of what it does, right? So I can tell everyone to put their hands up and everyone puts their hands up and you're like, and like in the best way possible, it's just a wild feeling, you know, you're just controlling crowds and crowds of people. So I don't know, back then in high school, I got this little taste and I was like, this is pretty badass. I'm like, this is a good time. So
it is crazy. Like, I was talking to a buddy, maybe this is like a few years ago, and we were just talking about how it is crazy as a DJ that you have the power to like take someone to like the highest of highs and then all of a sudden to the lowest of lows, and like you are literally orchestrating their emotions.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's if you do it right, it's one of the most beautiful things. And you obviously do it extremely right.
Thanks, man. You know what? I mean, it's not, I'm a very untraditional DJ in that sense, because, you know, a lot of DJs make music in the studio and then they go playing at festivals.
Right.
And it's just one genre of music, right? And the story that I'm kind of taking you on right now, I started in a lunchroom and then played a high school cafeteria, you know, I mean, a high school gym. And then I started working for this guy, Jeff, who did his mobile entertainment company. And now I'm doing like, if you can think of a party, I've done it, dude. I've done, you know, the weddings, and I've had people crying. I've done divorce parties, believe it or not. Like the day someone's supposed to get married and the wedding gets called off, well, they're still bringing the DJ in and they're throwing a party. Like I've done that. I've done a funeral, a celebration of life, and like really cultivating what music can do to people is incredible, dude. You just see so many different sides of it, and you learn to be super open formatted as a DJ to just play everything. So
yeah. So let's say we jump forward then to, you know, obviously this moment you go, all right, business teacher doesn't own a business. I'm out. I'm walking out. Kind of walk us through that next phase. Like, were you DJing at this point? You figured maybe I can leave and DJ. I know you said you went to a trade school. That was kind of a thought. Yeah. What did the next chapter look like?
I will make this part of the chapter a little bit shorter. So I ended up going to a trade school to appease my parents. I went for car audio and to do like remote car starters. My idea of it was I'm going to open my own business. I was passionate about cars. I could build sound systems and still be connected to music. And so I was 18 years old at the time, and I started my first custom car business called Twisted Customs. I absolutely hated doing remote car starters, and I'm from Buffalo, so it's cold outside. I got my beanie on. It snowed yesterday.
Yeah.
So like everyone wants those, and I just wasn't happy. I mean, like that's just like what it comes down to. I just simply wasn't happy, right?
Yeah.
And around this time, I started DJing for this teen night. It was like, it was called iTeen, right? And it was a bunch of, and Jeff, the guy who started this company called Midwinter Bash, and he rallied up all the schools together, and it was like a giant high school dance. Like we had thousands and thousands of kids there, right?
Huh.
So I started growing my name a little bit, just kind of like DJing in this high school era. I mean, we DJed at this time. You know, he scaled super quick, maybe like 30 or 40 of the local high schools all around the area. We were really grinding it out. And I was making some decent money as an 18-year-old kid, you know, DJing high school dances as his employee. And I ended up getting an internship at a local radio station. And that station is called Kiss 98.5. The call letters are WKSE. You guys can look it up, because it's the first radio station that has ever played a Justin Bieber song, right? Crazy.
Huh.
And yeah, the opening scene of the Justin Bieber movie is the radio station I worked for on the radio for 10 years. And
crazy.
Yeah, dude, I interned over there just doing grunt work. You know what I mean? Just like learning production and learning how they choose music for the radio station, and sitting in meetings and then going out and doing promotions and just like, you know, just doing the back end stuff. And my
not the exciting stuff.
Nothing. Yeah, dude. It was like, it was, I mean, I left there sometimes in tears just because of the shit that I not only went through, but just, I don't know, just lost of direction. You know, I just didn't know what I wanted to do. I felt confused. So, but I wanted to be on the radio, man. And my internship was up and I just kept showing up there. It's like the old story, you know, like I just kept showing up at the radio station. Like, what can I do today? What can I do today? What can I do today? And this woman, her name's Sue O'Neill. She's incredible. Yeah, she was like, "You got 30 days. We're putting you on the air." I'm like, "No way. We're getting a show, man.
Let's go.
Like, let's go." So you know, just persistency and consistency and having passion, and like, you know, I put so much time in, dude, for not $1. You know what I mean? I was just there because I loved it. So that was really the kickoff, man, of everything for me, you know, working for Kiss 98.5. And so
it's interesting too. Like there's the saying, like, you know, when you try to figure out your life and stuff, a common saying people say is like, what would you do even if somebody didn't pay you for it? Like, you know, what would you do for free that you enjoyed it so much?
Yeah.
And for you, like that was DJing. You're like, I like, I know if I keep showing up, something will happen. Like someone once told me, a mentor, he's like, 95% of success is showing up. Like if you show up to the DJ station enough, eventually they're going to go, all right, like we're either going to give you a chance because you're not like, we have to give you a chance because you're just not leaving us alone.
Right. I feel like, you know, it was like,
And it's like, if you can figure out like what's something that you would do, even if it didn't pay you, and then how do you just go be around that, do more of that? Like, even if it's like grunge work at first, how do you go be around that space? Because the more you're around it, eventually you're going to find yourself falling into the place you're supposed to fall because you're just around it. You're seeing it. You're figuring out what do you like, what don't you like, but you got to show up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, bro. It's crazy, man. Like in my time that I've been playing music, I have never felt like I've worked a day in my life. And like, it's such a very humbling experience to even be able to say that. But like, I've cultivated this life for myself that I'm just, so it's just, it's so much fulfillment and joy behind it because it's just like exactly what I want to be doing, you know?
I love that. So fill us in then. What's the 30 days like? Did you crush it? They go, Rancan's the best thing that's ever happened since sliced bread. What was going down?
So I was doing like, you know, late night after like late night weekends on the air. And, you know, basically my 30 days was like coming in, learning how to work the board, learning, you know, all the radio, pretty much all the protocol that we needed to learn because it's, you know, FCC regulated by the FCC. So I had to learn some things and kind of get my hands dirty in that. But my first air shift, it was the most scariest thing I've ever experienced in my life. Like, just imagine, I'm sitting there like about to go live. And this was when radio was hot, right? Like radio has fallen off big time. I mean, there's so many different ways to get music now, but like, this is, radio is hot, dude. We're giving away tickets. Like Bieber isn't even a thing yet. Like I'm about to press this button that's going to turn this on air light on for over 300,000 people that are about to listen to my voice. And the first thing I said, dude, I still remember it. I was terrified. I told nobody, dude. Like, I did not go on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I was not like, yo, Rancan's going on the radio. Like, no one knew. Like, just in case it was a track, I didn't want anyone to know what was going on, bro. I'm like, ready? Hey, this is DJ Rancan and the weather's coming up next. And I turned it off and I was like, this is crazy. Like, people just gonna be like, that's all I said, dude. It was terrifying. And it sounded like shit. I didn't know what I was doing, right? I was terrified. Yeah. But like, you could hear I was terrified. And this is what it is. But
that's wild.
Yeah, dude. But it grew like after time. Like, I sat down with Sue like twice a week and I would record takes and she would coach me and how to be better on the air and how to, you know, talk about topical content. And it turned into a thing, man. I rode the radio wave for 10 years and it was a great run. So really?
How long were you with that radio station? 10 years?
10 years. Yeah, 10 years.
Damn.
10 years on the air. And you know what's actually funny? I got let go. I wouldn't even call it let go, right? So like, I got called into the office because they weren't paying me because I wasn't filling out my timesheets. So for 3 years, I never submitted to be paid. Like three of those years consecutively towards the end, I had so much other things going on and I started DJing and I got involved in a direct sales company. And I was just like hungry and busy to the point where I was crushing it in so many areas of my life. But this radio thing, I was still so passionate about that.
Yeah.
For me to dedicate, because I live 22 miles from the station. So, I mean, it's an hour and a half ride for me there and back. So for me to drive an hour and a half during the business hours just to fill out a timesheet to get paid, you know, minimum wage, my time wasn't worth it to me. I could have allocated that time on my other projects. So that's why they ended up letting me go, because they weren't paying me and it was against their corporate policy to have somebody on their property that wasn't being paid or compensated. It's like crazy, right?
Interesting. So you would DJ from home then, or didn't you have to drive to the DJ, to the radio to DJ?
So I would drive to the radio station to DJ, but I would be doing like, you know, 7 or like 6 to midnight shifts, or on the weekends, like 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., depending on what air shift I was doing. So like, there was a long break there that I wouldn't be there during operation hours from like their 9 to 5 when the corporate office is open. So I would have to go there to fill out my timesheet and like hand it to the girl who signs off on it. Like I need to have it signed. So like there's 3 years that went by that I was just doing so many other things and traveling and flying in and out that I just didn't do it. So
yeah.
What's up, my friends? It's Stu, and I have big news. After interviewing hundreds of people on their journey in life and experiencing my own journey to a life full of fulfillment and passion, I finally put together a special guide just for you. And it's called 3 Steps to Finding Direction in Under 10 Minutes. And you can go grab it at findingdirectionuniversity.com/3steps. If you're feeling lost and like you're not quite sure what you want to do with your life, this guide will help you figure out exactly what your next step is in just under 10 minutes. You're not alone in this journey, and I'm excited to guide you through this process until you've truly created a life that you love. Go grab the guide at findingdirectionuniversity.com/3steps. I look forward to helping you create your dream life.
So fill me in then, where in this journey, because I'm guessing you were still working for the radio when we met.
Yep, I was.
So when did Vima in this whole chapter, and if you're listening to this, the way Rancan and I met was initially through this company called Vima. It was a network marketing company, direct sales, and we'll get to the story in a minute of how we like really met, but I'm curious, like when did that come into your life?
Yeah. So it was like 5 years after I started doing radio, I got a phone call from my buddy, Adrian, who was like, dude, you got to check this out. Like people your age are crushing this thing. I was like, no. Like we all said, no. I ended up hopping in, crushing it. And I actually got in trouble from the radio station because I was shouting out people from my team on the air. They were like, we know what you're doing. You can't monetize the airwaves. Like you can't monetize the airwaves for yourself. Right. You know what I mean? And I was like, I got in big trouble. So it was right around then. And what really transitioned my life, and like, shout out BK Barrico, first of all.
Yeah.
Foremost, like,
love BK. Whole,
yeah, dude, he's amazing. Like, the whole Vima thing, BK let me DJ his general session for like their convention in Vegas. And there was 10,000 of us that were there. I'm sure you were there in Vegas, right?
Yeah. How did that get connected? You just asked him?
No. So actually my upline asked him if she had a DJ in her downline who worked in radio. You know, he's works with big artists and stuff. And like BK was like, yeah, like we'll, and they were launching a drink called Remix. So it was like the perfect time. Right.
Yeah.
And like I was the DJ for the event. So that was my first corporate event. But at the time, dude, like because of Vima, like all direct sales aside, right? Like let's talk about the realness of, you know, what we took away from that was I got so engulfed in personal development that it completely catapulted my life. Right. And I started getting big into like, you know, obviously Gary Vee was like huge. Like he spoke at the Gary Vee convention. Right. And, speaking of him, the entire reason why I'm the world's corporate DJ now, like traveling all over, was because of the Gary Vee show. And I went to go see him and I bought like a VIP ticket and there was supposed to be a DJ that was there. And there was like 100 people at this VIP after party. And I drove there, it was in Cleveland. So I drove like 4 hours there from Buffalo. And there was this woman with a little headset on and she looked frantic, like something was wrong. You know, it already started, DJ wasn't there. And I walked up to her, man. And it's like right time, right place, like right opportunity. And just like getting over the fear, right? I'm like, hey, I'm like, I know you don't know who I am, but this is what I do for a living. I was like, and if you need someone to like tag in, let me know. Like I have all my gear in the car. And she was like, please help me. And like, I threw down at this after party, dude, and smashed it. And she was like, you want to do this same event in San Diego next month? And I was like, yeah, let's go. So like, shout out like Shelly Rojas, man. She was the event coordinator, director for Success Magazine at that event.
So was it a Gary Vee event or was it a Success Magazine event?
It was like a Success event that, you know, he was just, it was like a VIP thing and their speakers were going to be at, and it was like, So,
and again, I think one thing people can take from that too is like, again, this theme showing up of I'm going to do something for free because I love it. Even if someone's not going to pay me, and all of a sudden, boom, you do it and they go, yo, like, you're good at this.
Yeah.
Let's keep doing this and we'll pay you next time.
Right, dude. It's just like, I just let me show you what I got, you know? Yeah. And like still to this day, like I feel like now in 2019 before COVID hit, like I'm crushing it at this point doing this stuff. Like I did 109 flights in 2019 playing show. And like still to this day, like I just did an event with Mel Robbins at a giant, you know, arena event. And she hits me up. She's like, how much would it be for you to DJ my book release? There's going to be 10,000 people on the webinar. I'm like, I just want to do it. Like, I just genuinely wanted to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, you're an incredible person. You've given me so much value. Like, let me help you. Like, if I can bring you value, like, let me do it. So I'm like, gosh, dude, it was a great time, man. I like played for like an hour before she came on and it was fun. And the chat was going crazy and we were just having a great time. So it's just,
yeah,
it's like fun.
So if we look at kind of this trajectory then, right? So obviously you do the event for BK. That's where you and I kind of initially met when we, you know, did the turn down for what?
Yeah.
Right. You held the song for me and all of a sudden it was, you know, epic.
You're so many memories.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, for those people not familiar, so we did a convention and I was speaking at it, you were DJing it. And for me, this is kind of like where you and I initially met is I remember you were the first place we ever met is it was like the pre-night party or whatever, and you were on the like rooftop or whatever, and I saw you there and I was like, yo, you're like DJing or whatever. And we just like met each other. And then the next day I was like, you're the DJ. Like, what if we did this crazy thing with the music where we'll play this song, turn down for what, we'll pause it, we'll wait 5 seconds, and then all of a sudden when everybody's really confused, you'll drop it and people will lose it.
Yeah.
And we're doing this and I remember I come out, song drops about to happen, you cut the music, and after about 5 seconds, I looked over to you and was like, okay, here it's going to come. But everybody looked at you like they anticipated it. So you, as a great DJ, went, okay, I'm not going to give it to them when they want it.
Let the suspense build.
Let the suspense. And then I remember I'm, you know, on the stage and I remember just being like, holy crap. He forgot the plan. Like, this, my whole speech is done.
And then all of a sudden, just weren't ready.
They weren't ready. And then all of a sudden, these thoughts are playing. You hit the drop. Everybody in the audience freaks out. And it was like, from there, the rest of the speech, we crushed it. It was, it was wild, man. Something I'll never forget.
That's cool, man. That's a great memory.
Yeah. And so you do this event with BK. You go to success. You start doing this. And how do you kind of go from the point of saying, okay, I'm doing, you know, a couple corporate events to now all of a sudden, like fill us in the between a few corporate events to, okay, now I just did 109 flights. Like, how'd you go from
a million miles on Delta I've flown? Like, it's just, it's been nuts, dude. So, what ended up happening was this industry, this corporate industry that I'm working in is very tightly knit, right? So when, you know, a company either closes or switches hands or, you know, corporate execs leave. And I obviously have never advertised. Like first and foremost, I don't think that my profession is even something that is advertisable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
you gotta just show it.
Yeah, dude. But what happens is, you know, from meeting these connections and networking and, you know, people leave and they want to bring that creative aspect and that energy and that culture to a different company. And it just ended up spreading just like wildfire naturally and organically over time, just from people, you know, different companies and word of mouth, man. And it blew up. And, you know, now I brand myself as like the world's corporate DJ. So yeah, dude, it's just like, it's badass, man. Like I'm having a great time. And like, it's just built, it's just so authentic, man. And just to be able to bring, you know, a very specific value to a very dialed in niche market is really incredible, man. And I know that like it in a way, dude, it kind of changes people's lives because they can connect their why to songs on stage, and I can help speakers portray their message more through the power of music. And it's just been really, really great ride so far. I'm still figuring it out, man. I don't have all the answers, but I'm just like, I don't know.
Doing your thing. And yeah, I agree. It's like when you can partner music with like words and you can do that in a powerful sense, it's like
Yeah.
It pierces people to the core in an even deeper level.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. Love it.
So I'm curious then, obviously, world's corporate DJ, right? You're going to all these events, you're hearing all these speakers. And I know even we grabbed, you know, a beer lunch 2.5 years ago, whatever it was, in Orange County. And I think I asked you this then, but I'm curious now, as you've even done more of this, like, you hear all these people, Mel Robbins, Ed Mylett, all these people that are sharing like principles that massively can change the quality of your life.
Yes.
And I'm curious, like, what would you say are, you know, one or two like recent things that you've heard from some of the conferences that you've been to that have been like light bulb, yes, you know, like some of those moments?
Yeah. Oh man, dude, where can we even start? This is like,
yeah,
45 minutes, right? You know what? Actually, speaking of Ed Mylett, I think one of them is something that he recently spoke about. We were in Atlanta, Georgia. He told, for the first time ever, he told a story about his father. And it was the first time he ever gave this keynote. He did this deep dive on time, which is what really, really resonates with me, right? Like, it's something that you can't spend, but you have, you know, you have time, right?
Like, yeah.
So he went into this deep dive about his father and how his father was, you know, his passion in life. He was a recovering alcoholic. His passion was to help other recovering alcoholics just go one more day, right? And that was the message, one more day. Like, whatever you're struggling with, go one more day. And it resonated with me so deeply, because coming from someone whose dad also got sick. So my dad got cancer 10 years ago, and his life changed forever. We just recently went through a whole nother round of complications with that, and he's doing amazing now, which is,
let's go,
incredible, bro. But he, like,
pops.
Dude, Papa Ramkin's crushing right now.
yeah.
Ed Mylett had me in tears, dude, talking about time. And it is so precious, to the point where, like, right now, you are younger right now than you are right now. You know what I mean? Like, it's just gone. Like, that second, you're never gonna get back. So, like, what are you gonna do with the time? And I feel like the fear of time and losing it has made me just grind. You know what I mean? Because I've just connected myself to time and like what time means to me. And it's scary and can also be used as an incredible tool if you use it properly. You know?
Yeah. So just realizing that we have a minimal amount of time,
yeah,
and doing everything in your power to maximize every moment.
Yeah, and like, what, how can you use your time to build the life that you want to? There's no rules in this life. And like, I love to say that too, in so many like different aspects. Like, relationship wise, I don't think there's any rules when it comes to relationships. I think that, you know, if you want your life to be a certain way and you're in a relationship with your significant other, that's fine. However you two are happy together, that's fine. There's no rules. And just like there's no rules on how people want to build their life, I don't think that there should be a rule book. And I think that people can maximize time to build whatever life that they want, as long as they don't follow the rule book. You know, I'm like anti-social standards. I hate social standards.
Like, I love it, man. So then, walk us through. So I believe you said it was 2019. You do 109 flights. All over literally the world, Paris, Rome, Singapore, everywhere.
Yeah. Brazil, flying all over the
2020
place.
Comes.
Yeah.
This thing called COVID comes around. Obviously, I'm in the world as well of speaking large events. I know how our world changed. I'm curious for you, with DJing so many of these events, like, what the hell did your life look like when COVID came in this last 18 months?
Yeah, so there's a little snippet of this that I'll just briefly touch on. Before COVID happened, about 3 years prior to that, I opened up a nightclub with two other guys, and it was called Venue, downtown city of Buffalo. It was a 1200 person capacity venue. We had tons of people in there, Joe Nichols, rock and roll bands, big name DJs. And so I own this club. And so not only do I have the club that is, you know, crushing it in 2019, I am DJing like crazy, flying all over the place, building this world's corporate DJ thing, to the point now where I have two other DJs that are traveling around doing things.
Yeah.
Right. And I, you know, COVID happened and the world shut down. And like, not only like did the world shut down, but the world that I built for myself shut down in its entirety, dude. So like, I don't have, like, I buy my own health insurance, right? Cause I'm not, I don't work a 9-to-5. So like every dollar that I make, you know, has to come in. It's not residual at this point. I'm not involved in any direct sales companies. I have no income properties. So I'm still exchanging my time for money, and the bar is closed. Every single gig that I had booked in 2020 and 2021 is like canceling. Like there was a week, Stu, when like shit really hit the fan, where like I'm getting phone calls, multiple calls a day, just of events canceling, production companies calling me and frantic. And it's like, now I'm terrified, right? Like, what am I going to do? So there was a time where I went in full blown panic mode, and I've gone 30 years of my life at this point, not even filling out a job application. I say that very humbly. Like I was about to go get a job, you know, I was like, I don't know what else to do. Like these bills at my bar are piling up. Like, you know, we're 100,000 by, you know, 1 year into COVID, we're over $100,000 in debt at the bar with back bills. And like these events aren't coming back. There's no end in sight. And it was terrifying. So, what ended up happening was the foresight to see the direction of where things were going, right? And now we're even a more connected age than we were before COVID. So it's like, we really are transitioning more and more every single day into this more connected age. And I feel like if you don't take advantage of it, like you're going to completely miss out, right? Yeah. So, but I ended up pivoting super hard. And this one company called me and they were like, we want to do virtual events. How can you be involved? I'm like, you know what? Yeah. I'm like, I will build a studio in my garage. I don't even have heat in my garage, right? I'm building a virtual studio. So I called up my guys. I'm like, we're building a virtual studio. I called my uncle. He built me a desk. I ordered these backdrops off of, you know, some company online, and they shipped them in. And like, I like bought this camera that's beautiful. And I'm just like, I've hired a videographer to hold the camera. Shout out Adam Kellerman. He's a rock star. And so like we built this virtual studio, man. And now I'm like hitting up my clients. I'm like, yo,
you got like, the product.
We got the product. Like, this is it. So like, let us host your virtual show, dude. And I'm not a host, right? Like at all. And COVID made me end up being a show host. Like I'm introducing keynote speakers and I'm talking about content that's like, you know, it has to do with their show. And the funny thing is like, I started in radio and people are always like, the old radio joke is you got a face for radio because no one can see you, right?
right.
Yeah. So now I'm like hosting these virtual shows and it ended up like, it was a slam dunk, dude. Like we pivoted so hard. Now I'm like flying out to cities, hosting virtual shows and TV studios. And like, it just came back to life. Like, and I feel like partnering with these companies that had the drive and determination to, you know, to just keep going, just, it was just incredible opportunity to pivot and make a bad situation a good situation.
Yeah.
You know,
love it, man. Yeah. And I think it's so true that like in life shit happens, you know what I mean? And it's like, you got to be, when those moments come, you got to ask yourself, how can I pivot out of this? You know what I mean? It's like, I was talking to another buddy the other week, also was in Vima. And it was just like, when things like that happen, you have two decisions. One, you sit there, you mope and you cry about it.
Yep.
Or two, you find out, how do you get back to that level? You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, ask yourself, how can I pivot to get back to where I was? And you got to get creative to change it up.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, like crying about it and moping, like I was brought up and raised, like I told you, my dad's a biker, right? So he told me, he's like, son, he's like, it's all right if it makes you cry, but you can only cry about it once. He's like, after that, you're wasting your time. He's like, you just got to go out and you got to seize it. You got to figure out how to conquer the challenge, you know? So like,
go pop a Rancan.
Dude, he's such the goat, man. I wish we could bring
him in. That's true. Three-way I'm in.
No, three-way I'm in.
Part two, we'll be bringing Papa Rancan in.
Yeah, it'd be incredible. Dude, it's actually funny, man. Like one of my most accomplishing things I've ever done in my life, right? So like my goal, like the reason why I like work so hard is because I want to retire my parents. Like that's it, you know? And like my mom ended up getting fired from her job my dad's, you know, at home business is, he ended up getting sick, and like, he, it's just not what it ever should have been. So, you know, I just want to give back to them so bad. So right now, Mama and Papa Rancan are chilling out in Fort Myers. I bought them a manufactured home down there in like a 55 and up community. They got a sick golf cart they drive around. And I sent them down to Florida now, and they snowbird, and like, that's just been really fulfilling for me to just watch them.
Awesome, man. Yeah. And I think, you know, so important too, to have like the why, the drive, you know, because it's like, dude, obviously you're crushing it, but you got to ask yourself, how can you push more? How can you drive more? How can you, you know, unlock that quote unquote next level? So,
Totally. And like, nothing's ever been for like, you know, like money even, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people want to like be successful to show off, you know? And it's just like, it's cool to have things, but I feel like there's more purpose behind your actions. Yeah. Once you start doing things for a reason, I feel like better things happen for yourself. So
straight up.
Yeah.
Love it. Well, yo, DJ Rancan, it's been an honor to have you on the podcast, man. I'm curious, you know, if people are going, we need more Rancan, we need the world corporate DJ, where can they get more info on you and just see what you're up to?
Yeah, dude. So I got this clothing lifestyle brand. It's called Young and Focused. Sell a bunch of dope merch on YAF Global or youngandfocused.com. And DJ Rancan, it's with a K, by the way. We, you know, I didn't even tell you guys how I got the name, but it's actually a funny story, so I'll let you know. So DJ Rancan on pretty much anything, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
Solid. And so how'd you get the DJ name? Then we got to know.
Yeah, man. I was the kid that never had high school, like high speed internet, right? Cause like, we just couldn't afford it. So finally, when we got high speed internet at our house, we had to make new email addresses. And my mom made my email address Rancan. It's so corny, bro. Like, my mom's name's Patricia. Our last name's Kanowski. So hers was Pat Can. My dad's name is Sandy. His is Sand Can. And mine is Rancan. So it just kind of stuck, man. That's been the name since I got it. But, you know, I own it, man. It's cool.
Yeah. Love it, man. So last question I have for you. You know, in the show, we're all about helping people find direction in their life, but we also believe in doing it through action. You know, not just sitting on a couch saying everything's going to work out, but, you know, like really taking the action. And so I'm curious, like, what would you say is one thing someone listening to this can do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
So I'm super into just looking at your goal, right? And I mean, if I showed you this wall here, I have just a list of handwritten things that I need to do, right? I make a to-do list every single day when I have to complete actions or when I have challenges in my life that I need to overcome. I map them out. So I think right now, if you're sitting there and you don't know where to go or where you're going, or you haven't found your purpose, I think that you should write down the things that you love in life, write down the things you desire to have in life, write down some goals and make them actually tangible so you can go and, you know, start accomplishing them and checking them off. I think that there needs to be a timeline of what you want. I think you should reach for the stars and 10X your life, right? I think that you should think 10 times bigger than where you think you can go compared to where you might actually go, and write that down. So I think that, you know, it's just such a bare bones scratching the surface thing to do, but a lot of people don't do it. And I think that is a great start for someone who hasn't started it yet. You know, just write it down.
I was reading a book the other day. It said, if you write down your goals, statistics show you're 50% more likely to actually achieve them, which it's like,
that's huge.
Huge. Yeah.
Why would you not want to be 50% closer already to achieving them by just not writing them down? It's just so
if I write, take 60 seconds, write them down. And you got 50% of the way there.
Yeah. I have so many cool stories to tell you, man. I'm like sitting in this building right now, and I wrote down a goal of mine. And like, through COVID, almost 2 years ago now, I wanted to buy income property. And I'm sitting in this building that I ended up purchasing. And it's like, I drove by this building every single day for almost 2 years. Right. And I'm like, that building, I'm going to own that building. And I sat in the parking lot and stared at it, like for an hour or two at a time sometimes, like when I had nowhere to go, nothing to do, I wasn't DJing, I just sat in this parking lot. And I wrote it down, I looked at it every single day, I executed a plan, I got told no by banks to try and like, it just like, you know, you just overcome the challenges and I'm sitting in it now. It's just like, it's just crazy what you can accomplish when you execute, utilize your time properly, and write down your goals. It really is crazy. Yeah.
Straight up, man.
Yeah.
Love it. Well, yo, DJ Rankin, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the podcast, man. Thank you for the wisdom, the nuggets, the knowledge. And everybody, absolutely, definitely go follow DJ Rankin. He's just living and thriving. And thanks again, man, for hopping on the show.
Post-market stuff on my story as always. All right, bro. I love you, brother. I'll see you soon.
Love you too. Cheers.
See ya.
Thank you so much for listening in today. I hope you've enjoyed the episode and can take away some ideas and start acting on them in your life. If you got value out of this episode, please do me one huge favor and leave a review or share this with a friend who it could help. Your reviews and shares help us bring great content and more episodes to you, so we are extremely grateful for that. If you want to go one step further, shoot me a DM on Instagram and I'd love to chat and see how this has impacted you. It's Stu Massengill on Instagram. Also, share it on your story, tag me, and let me know what you're enjoying most so I can bring more of that to you. Our goal here is to help you live your dream life. So if you have any feedback or comments, please let us know so we can achieve our ultimate goal and help as many people as possible. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.